Our first lesson from Scripture comes from the Hebrew Bible, from 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 20. And you can find this passage in your pew Bible on page 236 of the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament. Hear this story. Now, the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel!" And he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again a third time, and he got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." And Eli perceived what the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make both ears of anyone who hears of it tingle. On that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God, and he did not restrain them. Therefore I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be expiated by sacrifice or offering forever." Samuel lay there until morning, and he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli, but Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." "Here I am." Eli said, "What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all that he told you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. Then he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." As Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was a trustworthy prophet of the Lord. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our second scripture this morning comes from Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth. If you'd like to follow along, it's on page 158 of the New Testament in the Pew Bibles. Hear now the words of the Apostle Paul. "All things are lawful for me, but not all things are beneficial. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. Food is meant for the stomach and the stomach for food, and God will destroy both one and the other. The body is not meant for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord and will also raise us by his power. Do you not know that our bodies are members of Christ? Should I therefore take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that whoever is united to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For it is said, 'The two shall be one flesh.' But anyone united to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Shun fornication. Every sin that a person commits is outside the body, but the fornicator sins against the body itself. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God? and that you are not your own. For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
The third reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Jesus Christ according to John. You can find this passage, John 1, 43 through 51, on page 87 of the New Testament. Hear this story. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where do you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, as so often is the case in Scripture lessons, I think these three readings that we just had, in many respects, deal with hearing and listening and responding to God. When I think about Samuel and Nathanael and those followers of Jesus from Corinth, I can't help but thinking about my own self, about my concerns and my experiences with hearing and listening and responding. So let me offer a couple examples. About a week and a half ago, our son Zach turned 15. Now, as is often the case when he turns another year, I start thinking back, and I thought about the time when Zach was a baby. And this really came to mind because of the story from the Hebrew Bible about Eli and his protege, Samuel, and about how Samuel was listening for the voice. And my guess is that, how many of you here are parents? How many of you have kids? Okay. Now, I can almost guarantee that this is 100% true of all mothers, and it is likely as well true for all fathers as well. Think about when your child was a baby. Now, I can almost guarantee that your ear was so well attuned that the minute that child cried out, you could hear him or her. I can still remember what it was like when Zach was sleeping in the next room, and I would wake up almost at an instant that he would cry. In fact, if I close my eyes and think for just a moment, I can still hear that baby monitor and the sound of Zach's rhythmic breathing. And I can also hear the slight change in pitch when he was just about to wake up and call out, and either Jane or I would go to his bedside. Can you remember that in your mind? Well, another example as well. Have you ever heard of the idea of selective deafness?
Yeah.
Now, this isn't fair. A lot of times men are accused of being selectively deaf. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. I'm not going to get into gender wars right now. But I can guarantee you that my son Zach and I have this horrible malady ourselves. You probably know how it goes. I can be downstairs doing something on the computer, and Jane's lilting voice will come down the stairs saying, "Will, it's time to clean the toilets." And I can't hear her. I mean, for everything I would try, I just can't hear her say that. But if she even mentions the possibility of dinner time, I'm there. You know, and it works the same way for Zach. He could be in his room listening to music or playing his guitar, and I will call up the stairs, "Hey, Zach, it's a great time to start the homework." And nothing. Nothing happens. Now he's working on the guitar. But even if the decibels are way high and he's playing that guitar, I can whisper to Jane the possibility that we might call out for a pizza under my breath. And in 3 microseconds, he's at my side telling me he wants pepperoni and extra cheese. So you probably know how that goes. But it got me thinking. When and how are we selectively deaf at those times when God would call to us? And Scripture offers some interesting perspectives. If you think about Eli, he was in the temple of the Lord. And Samuel was in the temple. Eli was outside. And Samuel heard God calling, in part because he was listening. Now, I wonder about that. Do you make a distinction between hearing and listening? And I wonder about our selective deafness with God. When you're here in worship on a Sunday morning, are you listening for God's voice? Do you count it your responsibility to hear God when God calls and to listen? Have you ever heard God's voice in, here in the sanctuary? And if you have, did you respond? How and when are we selectively deaf when God calls us? I wonder when we read the Scripture, if we're reading through the Bible, how and when do we decide that that lesson, no, that doesn't pertain to me, and this lesson, no, that's meant for somebody else? Were you ready to hear this morning in that letter to the Corinthians when Paul says, our bodies come from God. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are meant to take care of these because these bodies are not ours, but they belong to God. In light of the rich foods that we eat and the way we have so much food, and in light of the epidemic of obesity in our country, are we selectively deaf when it comes to hearing of the Word of God? And this is just one example, because I believe that the Bible is filled with lessons that we maybe ought to pay attention to, lessons that we ought to learn if we truly claim the title of Christian. How often and at what times are we selectively deaf to the Word of God? You know, tomorrow in this country, we are celebrating an amazing legacy and history of a preacher and leader of our nation, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. Now, Dr. King certainly listened for the Word of God. MLK heard and he responded to what God would have him do. I want you to think about this preacher from Georgia. He could have claimed selective deafness. He had his hands full with that congregation in Atlanta. He could well have ministered to his flock and spent his time preaching eloquently about prosperity and theology. Dr. King could have been selectively deaf, but he chose to respond. God called him and said, "You have a duty to look after the civil rights of all people. You have been called to make sure that people of all races, of all kinds, have the same opportunities in this world." And Dr. King responded. He could have turned that deaf ear, but rather he chose to walk the very difficult path, the path that led him into violence and ultimately to his own death. Reverend Dr. King had a dream of the beloved community, of peace and harmony for all people. And it was the cause of his martyrdom. This historic week, my brothers and sisters, I hope you'll take a little time of prayer, of thought, of careful consideration to think about Samuel and Nathaniel and Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. I want you to think about listening and hearing and responding to God. My brothers and sisters, when God calls you by name, how will you respond? Here I am, Lord, for you called me. Amen.